Welcome to the Green Lines Abundant Living Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. This podcast is produced to help guide you to think and live in spiritual abundance. Now, let's join Dr. Steve Green as we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit so we might lead others according to God's purpose.
This is the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today's podcast is brought to you by Destiny Image. And we'll just be so excited for you to hear this podcast and to understand what God is saying in 2019. So I'll ask you that question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you so far this year in 2019? Where are we headed? Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to receive that blueprint for 2019 and the Hebrew year 5779. Isn't that fun to say? 5779, that's a long time. I wish I was still going to be alive around then, and maybe not. That sounds like a good idea, though. This mini book that I want to tell you about is a compilation of really a lot of things that the Holy Spirit has said. It's a prophetic book. It's got deposits made into it, good writing, prophetic word from James Gall and Jennifer LeClaire, Lana Vosser, Tim Sheets, and Larry Sparks. In fact, there's an interview coming up on the Charisma Podcast Network with Larry Sparks. I did it. I've already completed the interview. I'm going to tell you, it's an outstanding interview from someone who certainly hears from the Lord and has a prophetic gift. But these writers offer revelatory insights that are going to give you a perspective, a direction, hope, and encouragement for the coming season. In fact, Larry even likes to call it prophetic strategy, and I love those two words because after a prophetic word is given, we often find that people get the Holy Ghost goosebumps, they get excited about it, and then nothing happens. I want to ask this question: when a prophecy is given, what must I do next? How am I held accountable for this word that I've just heard? So I encourage you to download a free mini book at www.destinyimage.com/2019prophecy. Again, download your free mini book at www.destinyimage.com/2019prophecy. That's going to be a book that'll give you a great, good head start on 2019. Thanks to Destiny Image for sponsoring this podcast. A.W. Tozer once said, "I don't trust anyone who doesn't walk without a limp." I'm sure Brother Tozer was referring to that wrestling match between Jacob and God that robbed Jacob of any zip in his hip. Jacob limped for the remainder of his life. But this is sort of an ad badge of honor. I wouldn't want to have that badge of honor to say, "Look at me, I survived a wrestling match and I'm going to limp forever." This is in many ways symbolized that he had been with God. This was a place of knowing that I was with God. And that limp reminds me of Acts 4:13 when Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin council. The verse here is real descriptive. Listen to this in verse 13. "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures." Listen to this. "They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." This is a New Testament limp. It should be obvious by our walk with a limp or without that we spend time in the presence of the Lord. There was an anointing upon Peter and John. They spoke differently. Their words cut to the heart of the matter. I wouldn't be surprised if they also limped because of many floggings they endured. But one thing seems certain to me. The way we live our life, how we speak, how we handle the storms of life, or what I call the invisible limp, that's the impact of our life with the Lord, it's noticeable. We preach the gospel by how we walk. And my guest today is our friend and author, Jonathan Burness, who lives his life with the invisible limp. He's the president and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries and has been a leader in Messianic Jewish ministry for more than 30 years. He's a much sought-after guest on major radio and television broadcasts that are a lot bigger than my podcast. So we're quite honored to have this opportunity with him. So welcome to Green Lines, Rabbi Burness.
Steve, it's great to be with you, and I'm walking with that invisible limp, and it's a good limp. It's a good thing.
Yes, and it is a position of honor to know that you've been with the Lord.
It is.
Yes. So just right off the bat, what's the Lord up to with you beginning this year, 2019, as you look forward into what's ahead? How's the Lord leading you?
Oh, gosh, I'm so excited about 2019. This is my 39th year of walking with the Lord and 39th year of walking in the calling, the clear calling that the Lord's given me to reach my own people, the Jew first, with the gospel. And we have incredible opportunities that we are walking through now. One of them in particular that I want to mention is we are working in Africa, and I can't mention which country.
Understood.
But we're working with refugees, Muslim refugees that are Jewish. They're living in squalor. We're providing medical care, dental care, eye care, and these are Jews who were forced to convert to Islam, but secretly they've been retaining their Jewish identity. What an incredible opportunity. And our ministry has been doing this now for many years, reaching the scattered tribes of Israel. And it's really been supernatural. Jewish people that have retained their identity live in the bush of Africa, the bush of Zimbabwe, the rural villages of Ethiopia, Zambia.
Rough country.
Some great new opportunities. Jewish people coming to faith in their Messiah in greater numbers than we've seen at any time, I think, since the first century.
My goodness, and you would know, you're a student of this. You're an amazing gift for helping us understand the Middle East and certainly the travails of the people who are trying to find the Messiah.
Yeah, there's the restoration of the Jewish people back to their land.
Yes.
1948 and then 1967 with the restoration of Jerusalem are definitely fulfillments of Bible prophecy. That many Christians are aware of. What many Christians are not aware of is the return of Jewish people in great numbers over the last decades back to Israel and back to the God of Israel through their Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, in the last decades. And that also is a direct fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Romans 11 says that in the end, the blindness will come off of the eyes of the Jewish people, and eventually all Israel will be saved, and then the Messiah will return. So I'm seeing this happen. I'm an eyewitness of the fact that tens of thousands of Jewish people are coming to faith in their Messiah. They're being restored back to their God.
Yes.
So the return back to Israel, but also spiritual return, is just a great thing to be part of.
Well, that has to put zip in your hip. That's got to give you a lot of joy.
It does. It does indeed. It's a miracle, a modern miracle. Steve, the more I understand the times we live in, the more excited I am that I have the opportunity to live in these days, or the greatest days in human history.
Wow. That's a big statement from you. So you've written another book. You're a prolific writer. You understand the difficulties in the Middle East, probably more than most, certainly at the scholar level. So tell us why you wrote your new book, A Lasting Peace.
I wrote it for three reasons, I guess. The first is we get so many questions here at Jewish Voice about Israel, about the Jewish people's right to the land, about the Palestinians, and why should Christians support Israel over the Palestinians for the land? What does this mean? Why should this matter to me? So the first reason I wrote the book is to answer the questions that I'm asked almost every day, sometimes hundreds of letters. The second reason I wrote the book is I believe that God's people need to be aligned with his heart. And the reason that Israel should matter to every Christian, to every person listening to this podcast, is because God cares.
Mm-hmm.
God loves the Jewish people. And
sure.
It's not that he loves the Jewish people more than the Arab people, but he has a unique destiny that he's assigned to the Jewish people. He's committed to complete that. And they affect the church. They affect us. And this is his heart. It's a heart of that wants to see the world redeemed. But I believe that that redemption of the world is through a specific people, which includes the church, because the church has been grafted into Israel. But there is a final restoration. The Bible says the first shall be last. And I think one of the meanings of that is God's commitment to restore the Jewish people. It should matter to every Christian. The state of Israel should matter to every Christian for a number of reasons. One of them is that, and that's the third reason, this is center stage for end-time Bible prophecy.
Yes, sir.
It's not America, it's not Europe, it's Israel. Israel is center stage. It's the yellow, it's the bullseye, it's ground zero. Mm-hmm. And if we care about what happens in the future, where Jesus is coming back to and why, then the state of Israel needs to matter, and Jerusalem in particular needs to be something that Christians understand. Because the men of Issachar were deemed to be wise because they understood the times. Mm-hmm. And if we want to understand the times, which we're called to understand, then we have to understand Israel.
Well, it seems for my entire life, I've seen this constant upheaval in the Middle East. Can you tell me, help me out? I'm an old guy, and I've seen it for my entire life. Why is it so unstable, even today?
Well, I'd say the central theme of the book, and I wrote it, it's a thorough book. I wanted to cover this thoroughly.
It is.
And simplistically, but I wanted to, but with simplicity as well. So thorough, but simplistic. So I cover every area, but the premise of the book throughout is that this is not a political crisis. This is spiritual at its root. This is a spiritual issue. And the reason that there's so much upheaval and that it's so deeply rooted and so hard to solve is it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 16 with Ishmael, and the prophecy that Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael, would be like wild donkeys and turning their hand against everyone, and particularly against their brothers. Well, their brothers are the children of Jacob, the children of Israel. So the promise of the land is through Isaac and Jacob, who became Israel, but they're the brothers of Ishmael. And Isaac is the brother of Ishmael, and so the conflict was prophesied way back in Genesis chapter 16. That's how deep-rooted this is. And at the very root, this is a spiritual issue that not only is a family feud, but fueled by a real devil, Satan, who is committed to keeping God's plan for the redemption of the world, not just the redemption of the Jewish people, but the redemption of the world from being fulfilled. And so this is Satan's, I think this is a fight for Satan's very life, his authority, his dominion, and in the end, he loses.
Well, we know that. We know how the story ends. And so I guess for now, what would I say to my church on Sunday to help Christians respond properly to what you're describing and what the reality is? How do we respond?
Well, a couple things I want to say. And I say this in every interview as long as I have the time to, that God does not love the Jewish people more than he loves the Arab people. He doesn't love the Israelis more than he loves the Palestinians. He doesn't. He loves us all equally. Our access to salvation, to redemption, is a level playing field. But God has, in his sovereignty, decreed a land for specific people as an eternal inheritance. And Christians have to align with God's sovereignty and what he declares in his word. We either believe the word or we don't. That's one thing I want to say, but it's not a matter of God loving one people above the other. It's about God's sovereignty and plan.
That's a good word.
I would say this, though, to all Christians. We have the answer. We have the solution, not a path, not a solution, but the answer. And I think sometimes Christians feel helpless, like I don't have anything to offer. I can't really speak into this, but we have the power of prayer, which is mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And when you realize that this is a spiritual conflict, then the only solution is a spiritual solution.
Yeah.
And it's prayer, but it's also proclamation. Those two things, I think, are the key to peace, to a lasting peace, not only in the Middle East, but in the world. When people come into a relationship with the God of Israel through the Messiah of Israel, Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior of the world, everything changes. And I've seen firsthand, Steve, when Jew and Arab come into a relationship with the Messiah, with the Savior, there's true peace, there's love,
that's right,
there's unity. That's God's peace plan.
Yes.
It's so, not an accord, it's not an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a person, and his name is Jesus.
And so, will this ever happen? I've got a pretty good understanding of what needs to happen. Do you see it in your lifetime?
Absolutely. I one of the most important aspects of my faith or doctrines is that Jesus is coming back physically in bodily form. He's not coming back in a heavenly form. I mean, he's coming back literally. Hmm. And he's not coming back to a new Jerusalem, a heavenly Jerusalem. He's coming back physically the same way he departed from, to the same place. He's coming back to Jerusalem. And that necessitates the restoration of Jerusalem back into Jewish hands, because he said, you won't see me again until you men of Israel, say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's coming back, and he will establish a lasting peace on this earth. The question is, when and how do we, what is our role in bringing that about? Those are the questions I try to answer in the book. I'm not answering the when, by the way.
No,
I just
can't.
Know it's soon. I don't know if it's, I'm not, I don't date. I don't place any dates on his return. I think that's futile. It's a big mistake. But I believe it's going to be soon. I don't know if it's months or years, but we are in the last of the last days, and we get to be part of this great final wrap-up. And it's going to be glorious, Steve. I really believe that.
That's exciting.
It is.
So how does this conflict that continues to brew, how does it affect the European countries and even in the United States?
Well, it affects every nation. Look at 9/11. We had a glimpse of what Israel endures literally every day, or certainly the threat that Israel faces in the north, in the south, internally, the number of terror attacks that Israel has endured. Literally daily missile attacks launched from Gaza in the south from Hamas. Sadly, Gaza, the whole idea of land for peace has failed, and Gaza is nothing more than a staging ground for missile attacks daily against Israel. And then you have a group called Hezbollah. I talk about this group under the control of Iran in the north, and they have over 25,000 missiles stockpiled. Some of them very sophisticated and very powerful, that could hit the major population centers of Israel like Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Haifa, and they're just waiting for the order to fire off possibly thousands of these missiles. These are the very real threats that Israel faces every day. And then you have an Iranian leadership that has publicly stated, and they're not kidding, they're not lying, that if they can develop, when they develop a nuclear warhead, it will be used against Israel to annihilate Israel.
What do you do with that? As your studies and your biblical knowledge, does it make you full of faith that you know it won't happen, or does it worry you?
It's in the context of the promise that God makes, two promises that I always keep in mind when I look at the Middle East situation. One, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Good.
He's always watching over Israel. He's always watching over the people that he has ordained to complete their destiny. This is a people with a destiny that God says it's irrevocable. It's an irrevocable destiny, and they will fulfill it at some point, some way, somehow. I believe that. And the second promise is in Jeremiah chapter 31, which I talk about in every book that I've ever written, that as long as the sun shines by day and the moon and stars shine by night, they declare that God is sovereignly preserving the Jewish people
yes,
as a people before him. Look, the anti-Semitism is as old as the calling of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the beginning, efforts to destroy the Jewish people. And there's such a terrible history of anti-Semitism. The Holocaust just 80 years ago.
That's nothing in a grand scheme of time. It's just a blink.
Yeah, it's nothing. And now anti-Semitism is at the highest level since World War II.
Yes, it is.
According to the Anti-Defamation League. But, Steve, God says, I will preserve you. That's despite the efforts to destroy you, I will preserve you as a nation, even though you've disobeyed me.
Yes.
I'm faithful to you. That comforts me when I look around the Middle East scenario. But I do believe that Israel is susceptible to these attacks, that in the last days there's going to be turmoil and unrest and terrible violence. And I believe that that's unavoidable. At the same time, the people of God have the power to invade the heavenlies in prayer, to pull down strongholds. When it says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Psalm 122, verse 6, the word is shalom. The word that's translated peace is shalom.
Mm-hmm.
It the fullness of shalom is to bring to completion. And so I'm praying for God's peace plan to be fulfilled, to be completed through the revelation of the Messiah to Jew and Arab, Israeli and Palestinian alike. And that's a powerful, powerful thing to pray. And God answers prayer. And then sharing our faith with Jews and Palestinians and Muslims. I know so many ex-Muslims, some that were in terrorist groups that love the Jewish people now, love Israel. It's an amazing thing to witness.
Yes, sir. Well, I promised you have another interview coming up, and I promised you that I'd get you out on time. So I've just got one more question relative to your books. I've noticed that you've also put out a Lasting Peace study guide. The two books are sold separately. How can this study guide help me to react to your book? What will it do? I notice that it's a workbook. You've got good questions and places to write in it. How's this going to help me to understand the book better?
Well, I write every book. I wrote this book so that Christians will be doers of the word and not hearers
only. That's right.
I'm looking for Christians to see that the Jewish person, their coworker, their neighbor, their relative is not in their life by accident, and they're not to leave it to someone else to share their faith. They're not to leave it to someone else to pray for the Jewish people and the Arab people by name. Muslims that you meet, Jews you meet, God has a divine assignment for you. And I want people not just to read and then forget. And the study guide helps to get it into your we say in Yiddish that your kishkas,
mm-hmm.
your guts, your heart, because then it's activated. The faith is activated. The activity is activated. And so I do the study guides for the purpose of making it real, of getting the material beyond just a quick reading of the book.
Well, the name of the book is A Lasting Peace, written by Rabbi Jonathan Bernis. He's been my guest. I think you can hear that he's a man that is definitely walking with an invisible limp and a great heart and compassion for his people and for the people that he's assigned to teach. And so, Rabbi, I believe that I've sat at your feet during this session, and I'm so thankful for you.
Well, Steve, I'm thankful for you, and thank you for having me on the program. Thank you for all Charisma does. We're in this together,
yes.
And again, it's going to be a glorious, glorious year.
Amen.
And a glorious future, because Jesus is coming back soon.
Amen. I can't wait. I'm honored to know you and to have the privilege of reading your books. Thank you again, Rabbi.
Thank you. Bless you.
Bless you. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. This is the Green Lines Podcast. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to the Green Lines Podcast. If you would like a copy of Dr. Green's book, Love Leads, visit loveleadsbook.com. To contact Dr. Green, email greenlines@charismamedia.com.